Dan, you picked the wrong house sitter.
Well, hello, everybody. It's your favorite day of the week. Another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel, and we try to make sense of them. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
You had a very, like, creepy alert look in your eyes as Les was saying hi to you. Like, I don't know if you realized you're doing it, but your eye, did you notice that, Les? His eyes, like, bugged out, and he was just, like, following you across the screen.
Yes, I noticed that.
No, I just want to make sure I'm articulate.
Okay.
When I say everybody's name. Everybody else does a good job. I want to make sure I'm broadcast quality.
Okay.
And today is Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's right.
You know,
I don't know if this will post on the 14th, so happy belated Valentine's Day by the time you hear this.
Okay, yeah, happy belated just in case. But, you know, I mean, I'm married and stuff, and I did something for my husband. But the thing is that I've noticed about Valentine's Day, the thing that I don't like about it is I noticed that there are more miserable people than not. Or people getting down on themselves. And it's kind of like, you know, if you're in a relationship, every day should be Valentine's Day.
I agree.
You know?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I kind of look at Valentine's Day as kind of like the St. Patrick's Day for people who drink. You know, it's like amateur night.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happily single. I have no, like, I'm not down about not being in a relationship, having a Valentine to celebrate with.
Mm-hmm. I'm spending Valentine's Day with you guys.
It warms my cockles.
So there you go.
Well, then after I'm cheating on you guys then, because after my Valentine's Day with you guys, I'm gonna go and see Birds of Prey as my Valentine's night outing.
What's that?
Oh, it's like this DC sort of superhero.
Yeah, it's the Harley Quinn movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I do know what that is.
With Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
So it's like it's like girls with powers. I'm sure there's going to be a makeover. So I'm in.
I'm going to go celebrate my love of happy hour.
And of course, long time lifetime of Hallmark fans and listeners will remember that I work with Margot Robbie. When she did one of her first roles on Pan Am, I was one of the people in the plane.
Okay, so before we start on the movie, does anybody have any news?
Who does? I need to know who to introduce.
Well, I definitely have some Black China news.
Okay.
And now, the Black China Report. Here's Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Okay. Never gets old.
I love that.
All right. Well, now my eyes must be really going crazy. I can't see you guys. All right, so this is from HollywoodLife.com. Blac Chyna admits she wrapped a phone cord around Rob Kardashian's neck during heated fight. For some reason, around is in quotes. What's that? What's that, Les?
I'm like, oh, my God, she tried to strangle him with a phone cord.
I thought you were going to say in heated sex. I was like, well, that is intense.
No, it's okay. So Blac Chyna, 31, according to her attorney, Lynn M. Ciani, is seeking to dismiss a lawsuit filed against her ex-fiancé, Rob Kardashian, 32, saying that while his statement that she wrapped a phone charger around his neck is correct, she did not try to strangle him, as he claimed. Chyna, according to new court documents obtained by Hollywood Life on February 12th, told attorney Martin Singer in a September 2019 video testimony that she put the cord around Rob's neck, jokingly, during an alleged December 2016 fight. Then after that, we had fun. She also admitted that ripping... Come on, I'm doing a serious news report. Walter Cronkite did not have to put up with this kind of interruption. She also admitted to ripping Rob's shirt that night, but couldn't recall if it was before or after the phone charger incident. During her video testimony, the lawyer asked her if she put the cord around Rob's neck while holding it in two hands. She agreed, but said not to hurt him, no. She also denied the following claims: that she allegedly pulled the cord, that she allegedly tried to choke Rob while holding the cord around his neck, that the cord allegedly went fully, in quotes, around Rob's neck, and that she allegedly tied the cord at the back of his neck so she could pull it, in quotes. She also denied that she allegedly scratched Rob while she was still engaged to, who she was still engaged to, whom, during the incident, Rob and China's relationship officially ended in February 2017.
Gee, so I wonder why.
Yeah, she said, Rob said in his, he said that wrapping the phone cord around him was a dumb thing to do to the father of her child, and that's about it.
Two things. First of all, who has a landline phone that's got a cord anymore?
No, it was, well, that's the way they introduced it, but it turned out it was a phone charger cord.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that detail. Second thing is, how do you know that Walter Cronkite didn't have to put up with this? They could have been heckling him from the side.
Right.
Well, I just assume that that wasn't going
like,
on.
I feel like the producers at CBS News back in the day would, like, do shots every time Cronkite said the word Nixon.
Right.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe he just wouldn't put up. Maybe he would stand up for himself more than I have.
But my favorite part of that was, I was just kidding. I didn't do it seriously. It was a joke.
The great thing is there's a wealth of Blac Chyna news, and I just look through it. I'm like, ah, it's a little too serious. Oh, good. She wraps someone. She tried to strangle us under the phone cord. Excellent.
Yeah. Didn't she go to the Oscars?
I hope so.
She did, no, yes. She did. It was a big deal that she was there.
And she had, like, this dress. Like, she made it. She had, like, this funky dress.
Yeah.
I missed that. Did you see the woman who won, she won, like, best short film, and she brought her purse up on stage?
Well, you know, a girl.
She could get someone to hold the person next to her. She could get, like, the person next to her just to hold it.
She doesn't know those people.
Right. Maybe she does.
Exactly.
No, if you want, like, documentary short, you're not sitting next to, like, Laura Linney, where you know she's not going to steal it. You're sitting next to, like, you know, some agent assistant that got their boss's tickets, like, all the way at the back.
That's true. I would walk up, hand it to Tom Hanks, say, could you please hold this? And just hop on stage.
That would be a great bit, actually.
Seriously,
like when
like Rita Wilson.
When was it Roberto Benigni? Remember when he wanted he like climbed on Steven Spielberg?
Uh-oh. Didn't do too well. Yeah. That didn't go well for Roberto Benigni.
No, it didn't. Whatever happened to him?
Well, his next movie, he did a Pinocchio movie, and that movie got slammed. And then I don't know what was after that.
I'm sure Hallmark and Lifetime would be happy to have him.
I think I met him once.
I met him on the street one time. I was like walking through the village, and he was walking with like a translator, and she translated. And I was just like, "Hey, excited to meet you." Whatever. I don't remember.
Did you guys watch the Oscars?
Oh yeah, it was so boring.
I didn't. Yeah, I got bored, and then I stopped watching it.
Yeah, I was at a party. So I was eating. So the food was good, so I was eating. I did like the guy from Parasite who was like, I'm going to go get drunk, and then he continued to win.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Every time someone interviewed him, he's like, I'm going to have a drink. I think that was the only English he knew. He's like, I'm going to have a drink.
Well.
I haven't seen Parasite.
Sure, he got wasted. You didn't see it?
I have the SAG screener here, and I have not watched it yet.
It's very good. It's very good. The twist.
Don't tease the twist.
I didn't know there was a twist. Legitimately.
Oh. Now we didn't know there's a twist. Is as good as The Wrong Housekeeper.
Well, you know,
it better.
That's up for debate.
Ooh, will The Wrong Housekeeper be nominated next year?
It's not The Wrong Housekeeper, by the way. Although that's probably another movie.
Yes,
it's The Wrong House Sitter.
The House Sitter.
What was the title of this movie? Was it really
The
Wrong House Sitter?
I thought they called it that. I was going to criticize them for calling it The Wrong House Keeper.
I hope you didn't watch the wrong movie.
Did I? No, this is a person who was house sitting. It's got to be the same movie.
Even though, yeah, I'm sure there is a Wrong Housekeeper out there. And if there isn't, there will be one very soon.
Oh, I hope I watched the right movie.
Well, you guys want to just get into it?
We should, yeah.
Do it.
Well, first of all, I love for those of you who are newer, when we talk about Lifetime movies, Lifetime movies has a couple of different genres. They have the Wrong franchise, or the Psycho franchise, or the Killer franchise, or the Ripped from the Headlines franchise. And so what I like about the different franchises is they basically have like the same company of actors for each franchise. And so, but the actors actually play different roles. So it was nice to see the guy in this movie, because he actually stretched himself, because he's normally the villain, and this time he was the hero. The Wrong franchise normally stars this guy Jason Shane Scott, Vivek A. Fox, and she's always wearing a different wig in every movie.
She absolutely
and Eric Roberts, but there was no Eric Roberts.
Yeah, where the hell was he?
No, yeah. But Tracy Nelson showed up in this one.
Yeah,
yes, she did. She's part of the Wrong franchise too.
Yeah, she's part of the repertory company now.
Has this woman been through enough in her life, enough tragedy, that she has to do this now? Like, I feel bad for her.
But you know what I love?
She's working.
All right.
And I can't divulge.
Work at the post office.
I can't divulge what's going to happen to Tracy Nelson, but Tracy Nelson has the same fate in every movie. Yeah.
And her scene in this one was amazing. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was dying. I loved it so much.
Okay, so we start out. We're in Los Angeles. I don't think we've ever had a movie set in Los Angeles.
No, the Lifetime ones are always in Los Angeles because they shoot locally.
Okay. So yes, it was Los Angeles, and then we see Beverly Hills. Like, it looks like, they're like in Beverly Hills. And then, okay, so this is the part that I found kind of confusing, because it was it looked like the neighborhood security, right? And we see this handsome black man, very handsome, and he's with the security, and they walk. So then they walk into the house, right? And the security says, this is an eviction notice. And I was a little confused, because I thought like only a sheriff or something could come and issue an eviction notice to you.
I don't know how that works. No. Well, can't it be sent in the mail?
Well, also, no, they normally like leave it on the door, but also like there was all these cop cars at the beginning of the movie, and the guy whose house it was – like, you think that there's a murder or something that's happened in there because there's so many cop cars. And he's like, I'm going in with you. And the cop's like, all right. And then they, like, split off. Like the guy, the owner, is just walking around the house, like, unarmed, where the other guy's got a gun. Like, what if something happened?
Right.
That was a serious eviction.
Yeah.
Right. And it was a beautiful house on the inside. And I'm wondering if like the guy who owned the house was like a rapper or something, because he had like cornrows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was wondering if he was like supposed to be like a rapper or something. But before they go in, the cop told him, "You've done all the right things." Mm-hmm. So they go in the house, and the house is trashed. But on the mirror in, like, the living room, in lipstick, is a note that says, I'll be back.
Cold open.
The cold open.
Another Lifetime trope.
Right.
In fact, we didn't have it in one of the recent movies, and it threw us off. This one, they had the cold open. I was very happy.
Yes.
I'll be back.
So then we see Jason Shane Scott, the actor from, you know, the actor who's stretching himself and showing the other side of his talent.
He was the bad guy in The Wrong Neighbor.
He was in The Wrong Neighbor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's the one where the guy was renting what they kept referring to as an attic, but it was really just an upstairs apartment.
Right.
I remember, yeah. He was in that. I do remember him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's looking great. He
always has his shirt open. His shirt's always like halfway open.
Yes.
Not mad about it.
He's about ready to burst out at any moment.
Right. And he's talking to, and he's on the phone with Vivica A. Fox, mm-hmm. otherwise known as Debbie. And I noticed that Vivica A. Fox, Debbie had a very severe wig in this movie. Yeah. Or as I've heard people refer to the type of wig as a bus driver wig.
Jeez.
So it was like a bit.
Wow, that is very severe.
I've noticed that when Vivica plays a supporting role in these movies, she always has a short hair, like no nonsense wig. But when she's the lead, she's always got like the long flowing hair.
Right. Because yeah, this wig basically showed I'm the boss mm-hmm. and I mean business.
Yeah.
Don't mm-hmm. mess with me.
She acts with her wigs.
Right.
She's a wig actor.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then he's talking to Debbie, and he's telling Debbie, you know, that he's about to take a trip, and he's talking about his new girlfriend, and then his girlfriend shows up. And this girlfriend is a very attractive black woman.
She was a black guy.
He's down with a swirl. Mm-hmm.
We rarely.
Channel, take notes.
There's a line later in the movie, too, where
down with the swirl.
Where when the girlfriend walks into Deb's office with him, where Vivica says something to him like, oh, now that's my girl. Like, she basically recognize it like, oh, that's his type.
Right.
I couldn't imagine being with a white woman. Jeez. At last, a movie that keeps in mind the straight guys that we watch. We never watch movies that have anything for straight guys. We've got this woman is very hot, and this other woman is also hot. Well, just walks around in hot outfits for half the movie.
Mm-hmm. And what I like about this, though, is that without them saying anything, mm-hmm. race actually kind of plays into the movie.
Yeah.
Does it? Without saying anything.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess. Totally.
Okay, let's unpack this as we go along. I think I know what you mean. Let's see.
So she's his girlfriend tells him, you know what, she was supposed to house sit for him, but she's like, I just have this last minute work trip. So I'm like a training for my job. So I gotta go. Sorry, I can't house sit for you. And he's like, you know, that's okay.
And we should point out he just moved into the house. Like it's he's newly moved in, even though the thing is entirely furnished and totally decorated already.
Right.
Well, they haven't gotten it on in the house yet. Cause he said they want to christen, the bedroom, the living room, the kitchen, the shower, and possibly all the showers. He was talking about doing this all in one evening.
Yeah. He was going to go to town.
Yeah.
He was ready.
All right.
He had the shirt open already. He's like, I'm already half naked. Let's go.
Right. Night.
Right. So then they show him he's at a bookstore.
And City Lights.
I think that was it's called the last bookstore downtown. Jason, have you ever been there?
I've heard of it. I've never been there.
That was the last bookstore. Okay, so City Lights. What's the bookstore in San Francisco? Isn't there a City Lights in San Francisco? Maybe not.
I don't know. Probably. So he's at the bookstore, and he's in the fiction section, and this attractive woman walks up, and she starts talking to him, and they're talking about Ayn Rand, and the Fountainhead, and all these, you know, all these books.
Right.
They were droning on, trying to sound intelligent, and I immediately checked out, which then made me question, well, how dumb am I?
Well, everybody in this movie, every character is so dumb, and they're trying to, they're working hard to try to make some of these people look smart every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So he says, he uses the word didactic. He recommends the Fountainhead over, what was the other Ayn Rand book? I can't remember.
Oh, did I write it down?
What is Ayn Rand, The Fountainhead? What's the other one? I forget. Anyway. So he prefers The Fountainhead because it's less didactic, which means right. intended to teach. I'm going to look it up right now. It's driving me crazy. Ayn Rand.
Didactic.
It's didactic.
Right.
Okay, Atlas Shrugged.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's what it is. All right.
So then they're talking, and he tells her, like, he's a freelance writer, and she tells him that she's a struggling writer, and so she's, you know, trying to make a living, like, doing waitressing jobs, and then she mentions that she's a house sitter.
I house it, I cat sit, I...
And he's like, gets an idea. Well, hey, ooh. You're a house sitter, and I need a house sitter. Why don't you house sit for me?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Hey, I met a woman in a bookstore like that, and we were together for a year and a half.
Wow.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Did she stay in your house? Was she house sitting?
Yes. In fact, this story is a true story. I sold them my life story.
She walked around in
the wrong. Oh, if this is your life story, then yeah. We should talk after the show.
It's true.
Yeah. Right. She walked around in bikinis all day.
Yes. Yes.
But Kurt,
I told her, please. And I said, put on a robe and read The Fountainhead. It's less didactic.
If this is your life story, then why are your eyebrows not nearly as intense as his?
Right.
Well, his eyebrows, like, they, I've never seen eyebrows that were so meticulously sculpted.
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Jeez.
Yes.
Compare me to other people with eyebrows.
And you know what I noticed, too? He had the perfect stubble.
Yeah.
I want stubble like that.
Here's my eyebrows. Okay, get this. You get for Instagram.
Get it, Les.
A moment.
Here we go.
You get it.
He had the perfect stubble. I aspire to have stubble like that. It was perfect.
Yeah. I'm not quite as good a physical shape as that guy. But
he was, yeah.
Maybe you know, if you just wore tighter shirts.
And I told you guys before, I saw him on Sunset as he was walking to Equinox.
Mm-hmm. Of course. He was walking he's walking out of LA Fitness and into the Equinox. Yeah.
He was crossing the street, and he was walking into Equinox. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, that's Jason Shane Scott from The Wrong Movies.
Well, good.
Next time you see him, ask him to be on the show.
Yeah, I absolutely would.
We have him on.
It's like, you know, we say nice things about you. Come on the show. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've ever said anything bad about him.
No, ever. No. Oh, okay. So then, his house is fabulous, and we find out that the way that he could afford this house is because he sold a story.
Oh yeah, and the story is it's these Stone Age people who are on in New Guinea, and I think that's about it. It's like that's the story. It's these people, these Stone Age people, and they understand how the world works. Like, wow, what a great movie that's going to make.
But the thing is, okay, this house, so this is set in L.A. Mm-hmm. So this house was a multi-million-dollar house because he even had horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
This, by the way, we have seen this house several times before. They have used it in several movies. I'm pretty sure it was in Psycho Party Planner, and I think the kitchen is the same kitchen from Killer Contractor.
Probably.
I think it is.
But yeah, that was one hell of a story because that was a multi-million dollar house.
Yeah.
Multi-million. So she comes over. Her name is Kristen. And so Kristen comes over, and Kristen is like, why do you need a house sitter? And because she's like, this is a great neighborhood. Why would you need a house sitter in this neighborhood? And he's like, you know, yeah. I just, like, criminals always kind of show up in these neighborhoods, and you can't be too careful, so
let me invite a complete stranger that I met in a bookstore to stay there instead.
Right.
Great idea.
Right.
Why would you get a house sitter? What was it weigh for, like, 2 days?
And I could see if he had pets. Well, no, he had, well, but I wonder if the horses were his horses, though. Because the horses were right.
Well, that was something I thought about when we saw the horses later in the movie, is you have this huge, it's an estate. If you've got horses, you've got an estate. You don't have somebody working there that could just keep an eye on it while they're there?
Like a housekeeper, even?
Yeah. A stable boy?
Right.
What's that, a pool boy?
A pool boy, too. They could have that.
I don't see why you have to hire somebody to sit in your house. It's a good gig, though, if you want to do that.
So he shows around the house, and then he's like, oh, I'm going to call my car and go to the airport now. And she looks back and gives the Lifetime movie villain evil look.
Yeah, looks through the window.
And what I love about this movie is this movie does not even pretend to be anything else. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
And it does not put on airs. It is what you're going to – what you dumb, see is what you get.
Dumb as a pile of compost.
Yeah. Oh, so then she goes back to her apartment.
Well, they cut away because they come back to the same scene. So they cut away to her apartment. It's like a flashback or something.
And so, you know what? I didn't realize that was a flashback. You're totally right.
Yeah, it was weirdly framed because they show her lurking outside the house. Then all of a sudden she's in her apartment. You're like, oh, it's the next scene. But then they cut back and she's still standing outside the house.
Oh. And in her apartment, she's like Googling him. And then they show her wall, and her wall is plastered with pictures of him.
It was
headshot. Like stalking him.
And like muscle pictures. Right. This guy is the writer, a freelance writer who works for Outdoor Explorer magazine. And yet he's got more headshots than Les Kirkendall Barrett, who's an actual actor.
It was literally like they went to this actor, Jason, and they said, hey, we need some like pictures of you because she's clearly been stalking or whatever. And so he just like hands him all of his headshots, like all of his different, like his commercial shots, his theatrical shots, whatever. Because there were like 15 different shots on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was like one that they clearly like printed out a workout selfie of his from the gym. They had that up there too.
Everything they get their hands on.
So then we see Dan, and he's on the couch with his girlfriend. Oh, her name is Mary, by the way.
Mary.
And so so they're hanging out on the couch, and Kristen is like looking through the window, like totally stalking. And then Mary's like, you know, are you sure this is, you know, this person is legit? And he's like, oh, she gave me references, and I called the reference, and they gave her a good reference. So basically, he probably called her, and she pretended to be somebody else.
That happened to me. I had somebody call. I called someone, and I left a message, and I called. It was from California, and I saw someone was calling me from Michigan. So I answered the phone and said, hello? And the woman goes, may I speak to Kurt Fitzpatrick? So I didn't know what to say, so I just was silent for a while, and I just said, hello? And they just pretend as nothing happened.
So I'm sure she did the same thing.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Okay, so then, I love this line. So then I guess they just finished eating because she's like, I'm full.
And he's she's full. She can't get it on.
He's like, I hope not too full.
They haven't gotten it on yet in the house because they still have to christen the house.
They're about to.
She's too full now.
So then he drives away, and then then Kristen comes over with her bags and just walks in the house.
She walks in the back door, which is a back door we've seen in many of the Lifetime movies. It's always the same back door that they leave open.
Right. And then so she goes in and she hacks his phone. Like she plugs his phone into her iPad and totally hacks it. Like within minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he walks in and I wrote all of his all of his shirts are buttoned down to his abs. And he catches her in the living room. And
he shaves his chest.
Right. Yeah. And he, you know, like, she gets all the Wi-Fi passwords and all that stuff. And then he can't find his phone. So he's looking for his phone. And then all of a sudden, she gives him the phone like she found it. Like, she's like, oh, I found it.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't even see that.
But he says, how did you get it? Yeah.
Yeah. He questioned it, and she's like, oh, I'll tell you later. She was really dismissive instead of just making up a lie.
Right. Yeah. And he just took it. He just went along with it. Like, didn't question it. So then, okay, so this is where he's stupid, all
right? Right.
She whips out a bunch of papers and says, oh, hey, this is our contract, so just in case something goes wrong, we're both protected.
Yeah.
I need you to sign it. And he doesn't look at it. He just signs it.
Yeah, and it's like two pages. It's two pages.
It was at least two. It was long.
He read Ayn Rand. Did you ever see one of these Ayn Rand books? I got one of the paperbacks. They are thick as Stephen King's It, if you're more familiar with that than Ayn Rand. And he can't read this two-page contract.
Also, who in the hell has a contract for house-sitting?
Right. And especially, it's like, okay, dude, you're a freelance writer and you don't read your contract.
Right.
Wouldn't you read your contracts just because that tells you, like, the time that you're going to get paid and how many weeks they can, like, wait to pay you.
I have a lawyer on retainer who looks at my contracts regarding house sitters. They also look at the young man who's feeding my cat, and that's it.
And then, his Uber shows up, right? And he leaves, and I wrote, oh my God, I love her.
Get a contract. Get a contract with that Uber driver, too.
I wrote, this movie is already insane. Like, I was so on board with this movie because it was just nuts.
It's... Oh, wait, here comes Tracy Vail. I get to meet her. One of the weirder... She just looks weird.
She looked like she had all of the Botox and such crazy eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
The nosy, horny neighbor.
Yeah, I think I shouldn't say that. This actor.
What?
This actress is definitely getting it on with one of the higher ups at Lifetime. I saw Jason's expression. That wasn't nice, I guess.
I mean, I thought the same thing. I'm the one that said that she had all of the Botox. That wasn't very
What's
nice.
That?
I'm the one that said that she had all of the Botox. Nice,
I guess Tracy Vail won't be coming on our show.
Wait, is that her real name?
Oh, no, but it might as well be. That's her name in the movie.
So she comes over, and she's like one of these annoying neighbors that we've all had that's all up in your shit.
Yeah,
right.
So she walks up, and she sees Kristen, and she's like, oh, I hear we have a famous writer in the neighborhood. Ooh. And I wrote, she's looking to get laid. And then, she's like, you know, trying to get information out of Kristen, and Kristen's like, oh, I'm his girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
And then Tracy's like, oops, uh-oh. And then Kristen, like, says, okay, well, you know, we gotta have you over for drinks sometime, you know? And then Tracy goes away, and then Dan calls, and he says, like, he's checking in, and I once again in my notes wrote, he has great stubble. I want that stubble.
So you're distracted by that.
The stubble?
Yeah, you're too distracted by his features.
Well, there's a lot to be distracted by.
It's a dick-straction.
Right, exactly.
A dick-straction. Yeah, dick-matized.
Right.
You're dick-matized by this movie. That's the thing. You're rating it way higher than it should be.
I want to learn how to make half stubble like that. I want to learn how to shave and have stubble like that. I need to go get another shaver, like an electric shaver.
You like stigmata? This is stigmata.
Right.
You're imagining this. Anyway, I don't want to go with that.
So then Debbie, Vivica, calls Dan, right? And, oh, and I wrote here, she must have the Eric Roberts deal because a lot of her scenes were just shot with her in an office.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Oh, it's just her, so there's no one else in the shot. Okay.
So, like, you know those movies where Eric Roberts is just, like, in, like, he's, like, in an office or in a car, and it's just
right.
him?
Right, yeah. It's just him.
Vivica
yeah.
had that same deal. So I wonder if, like, if once you're, like, the star, that's part of your contract is you, like, shoot all your scenes in a day.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Oh,
what was she in that was, like, what was she in that was, like, legit? Was she started out on a TV show?
She started off on a soap opera. Then she was on Independence Day.
A movie, okay. Yeah,
yeah. Will Smith. She was in like a lot of big movies.
Yeah, that catapulted her to stardom for a while, like big stardom.
Yeah.
Right. And she was in Kill Bill.
She's in Kill Bill.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
She was in this movie with Halle Berry. Why Do Fools Fall in Love with Halle Berry?
Okay.
She was in a lot of major things, a lot of studio films, for sure.
Okay.
But you know what? She's the hardest working woman in show business, because she...
Good for her.
She's like the black female Eric Roberts, basically.
Okay.
Because I've seen her on some things. I saw her one time on an infomercial for the Psychic Friends Network or something like that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's got to work.
Then she had her reality show about, like, male strippers with Chocolate City.
What?
Yes. Really? Yes. I'm not even kidding.
You're really up on Vivica Fox. I'm glad I asked you.
It was like a really. Because
it would just be a waste of knowledge.
She amazes me because she literally will do anything. And she's always working.
Yeah. Bless.
That's why she's. Yeah.
What is the name of Vivica A. Fox's fan army?
Oh, I don't know. What?
I don't know. I thought you would know.
Oh.
Is there one?
There's got to be.
Yeah,
like, what
I'm
would,
sure.
What would
there's a Kiss army. Because there's a Kiss army, so there's probably like an A. Fox
like,
army.
Or maybe you get in the foxhole or something like that.
Right.
Foxhole?
And by the way.
Amy Fox, he does that.
Vivica A. Fox is where I learned the phrase, keep it tight, keep it right, because that's what she said on Wendy Williams.
Wow. She's really influenced.
She's a woman of a certain age. She's like in her mid-50s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about right.
And so Wendy Williams is like, you look good. And Vivica's like, keep it tight, keep it right.
Mm.
Oh, she has a wig line?
So, oh, so wait—is she wearing her own wigs?
She has a wig line.
This makes sense. She's promoting her wigs every time she does a movie. She has a new wig on.
Right. Right.
After we finish recording today, I'm going to do two things. I am going to go buy a Patti LaBelle sweet potato pie, and I'm going to go buy a Vivica A. Fox wig, and I am going to have me a Valentine's Day night.
Right, hey. Get the bus driver wig.
You're gonna wear that wig.
You're gonna drive it. You're gonna drive it.
Bus. This Patti LaBelle pies are the bomb. Sweet potato pies.
Those Patti LaBelle pies are good. After Kurt raved about them, I was at a party and there was one there, and it was, oh my god! I think it was honestly some of the best pie I have ever had. Seriously,
that Patti.
Mm-hmm.
It was her sweet potato pie, yes. And it was like, seriously, I didn't even really like sweet potato pie all that much. And I liked that pie.
I feel like Vivica A. Fox needs to come out with some food, maybe like swerve left and do something unexpected and come out with the Vivica A. Lox and Bagels.
Oh my god, do you know what reality show Vivica A. Fox was on many years ago? Faye Dunaway had a reality show called The Starlet.
What?
Yes. You can YouTube this. You can Google it. It was called The Starlet, and Vivica A. Fox was kind of like the Simon Cowell. Like, it was around the time that American Idol, like, hit.
All
right. So after it hit, there was all these, like, you know, copycat reality shows. Hmm. So this was called The Starlet, where Faye Dunaway would pick an ingenue and she would win like some walk-on part or something. Vivica A. Fox was one of the judges of that.
I legit, like, I'm not joking. I think we should watch an episode of that 1 week for the podcast.
I would do
it. I think so too. I can't imagine Faye Dunaway being a bubbly host.
Oh, do you? Okay, wait. And do you know what the catchphrase was when they got voted out?
I'm your daughter. What was it? That one.
They would get voted out, and then Faye would say, "Don't call us. We'll call you."
Damn. Oh man. Well, that wasn't a good idea.
Yes. The Starlet. I would totally watch it.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, meanwhile.
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
Meanwhile, Kristen is walking around the house, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're playing the creepy music. And Kristen is walking around the house. And then she walks into his bedroom. And she gets in his bed.
Yeah, and music is playing. Music's playing like this is the most horrific thing ever. She's getting in his bed.
And it was a good bed. It was a really good bed. So then she, the next scene.
We skipped when they were, because we never talked about Vivica and Dan on the phone, and like the call was dropping out, and so she's trying to tell him she's dropping off this research at the house, and he's trying to tell her that there's a house sitter, but she doesn't hear him, and the call drops. But what I thought was amazing in that scene is he's holding the phone up to his ear because he's in the street in New York City. He's listening to a normal phone call. Every time they would get to Vivica, she was holding the iPad like she was doing a video call. Like she was holding it in front of her face doing a video call, and he's got the phone up to his ear.
Well, no wonder it wasn't working. A lack of attention to details. There's another weird thing in this movie. There's like an establishing shot of the house, and then you see two people just standing in front of the house. Like, okay. There's a couple of little sloppy things going on.
I love Lifetime movies.
Same.
I don't know if they care.
So then she calls like TaskRabbit or one of those types of places. And so the guy is putting in like a nanny cam sort of a thing.
Well, that's what she describes it as. She basically says it's for that it's her and her husband, and it's so they can keep an eye on the house when they're not there. They have a young baby.
Right.
And he mentions how small the camera's going to be. Nobody's going to even notice it. And the camera was huge. It was like the size of two fists.
Yeah, it's not that small.
They made a huge deal of how nobody was going to be able to see this camera, and it was gigantic.
Yeah, it looked like an Alexa,
It did.
It really did. So then this guy, even though the guy was right, the guy was totally out of line.
Yeah.
Because he installs everything, and before he leaves, he's like, I looked around your house, and I noticed that there was no crib. It's like, what the fuck is this? This is not your business, dude. Even though he was right. He was totally right.
I didn't see any evidence of a baby here.
Right.
I looked through your drawers and didn't find any diapers.
It's like, who are you to judge? Like, first of all, aren't you supposed to just go in and put your stuff in and go? You're not supposed to be looking around the house. And then I thought he was going to die for a second. I thought she was going to kill him.
Me too.
We keep our baby up in the attic.
Well, remember that one. Oh, no, that was like the one movie we watched where the woman kidnapped the mother and had her in the basement and was like expressing her milk and putting it in the refrigerator.
Yes.
What was that?
It was something from Hallmark, I believe.
Oh, I don't remember.
Wasn't it Killer, like, was Killer that, Nanny or something?
Are you sure that wasn't the show that Faye Dunaway was hosting?
Right? I'm surprised Faye Dunaway has not been in a Lifetime movie.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we hear she's a pain in the ass.
That's why I'm sure she'd be in a Lifetime.
All right. Not to ruin Faye Dunaway's career.
So then...
He also points out that her name that she gave over the phone isn't the same name as the one on her credit card.
Which she explained away, mm-hmm. which she's totally right.
Yeah. But in that case, I think he's not out of line to question it, because if you're taking someone's credit card, you want to make sure it's legit and you're going to get paid.
True.
Yeah.
True.
See if a credit card accepts it.
And then I wrote, dude, you are dumb because you're supposed to be sneaky about that stuff. You're supposed to kind of like, you're not supposed to just come out and ask. You're supposed to kind of like tiptoe around it in a sneaky way and trick them into admitting that they're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's what I would do.
That's what you do. Jeez.
Right? That's one thing about the women in this movie were I was team every woman in this movie because they were doing sneakiness that I was like, you do it.
Yeah, but sometimes it bit them in the ass, as we'll soon see.
True.
Also, the giant camera that he installs, it's not like he was drilling holes and mounting shit on the walls. Like, it was literally just like a camera that he set on a table.
Right, like on the nightstand. Like,
she could have done that herself. Just plug it in, and like Alexa would set it up for her, and it's all good.
And they were so big that like if one was next to his bed, if you would have turned over and looked on your nightstand, it was so big that you'd be like, "Where did this come from?"
Yeah, it's like the size of a small lamp. You're gonna see it. It was right in your eye line from the bed.
Now you have
and it was white. It was white. Like it didn't like.
It didn't blend in. Yeah.
Yeah, it was white, so it totally stood out.
Now you've got to provide your own Betamax tapes for these cameras. If that's do you have any of those around?
They wheel in like one of those giant, massive reel-to-reels like they used to have, like in the military in the '50s. They would record video.
Now the camera I'm putting in the bedroom. I borrowed this from Quentin Tarantino. This actually shoots 75mm.
Now you're not going to notice the camera, although the camera operator and his crew might get in the way.
Yeah, the director of photography just won an Oscar. You may have seen him. They actually used this camera to shoot 2001.
Jeez. So then Kristen's in the living room. And she's looking on her phone, and she's looking at his picture. Like, she has pictures of him on her phone. And she Photoshops out the girlfriend, Mary, and Photoshops her picture in as well.
I love this scene so much.
I'm going to choke to death. God. They're so fake. They're
so ridiculous.
So then she goes and she's walking around the house, and like she bought candles. She's deep cleaning the house. She is a good house sitter because she really cleaned that house well.
See, this isn't the story about my life because I'd keep this woman. If I came home, this woman's doing cleaning. She's doing height cleaning.
Right.
She's cleaning stuff like up high. I came home to that, I'd be like, yeah, if you don't want to leave, sure, you can stay.
How dirty would that stuff be, though? He just moved in. How dirty could the chandelier be?
I don't know, but she's cooking and walking around a bikini. Sign me up.
Right?
She even cleaned the dining room, which was the dining room from Psycho Granny.
Even better. Just better.
So then she's going through his clothes, and then she goes and she sits in his bathtub fully clothed.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
And it was a nice bathtub, though. It was a very nice bathtub.
The bathroom had a giant accent chair that was sitting there, pointed directly towards both the tub and the shower. It's like, here's an opportunity to be creepy anytime you go in the bathroom. Just sit and watch someone shower.
Oh, my God.
Whatever floats one's boat.
Oh, so then Dan comes home.
Yes.
Dan, he comes home, and he's walking through the house, and part of him is like, oh, my God, look what she did to the place. This is
great.
Oh,
wait
great.
A minute. Wait, you missed it. Vivica A. Fox stopped over.
Oh, that's right.
You skipped that.
So yes. What happened?
Well, she stopped over, and she's got the research to bring to Dan, and then Christine, or what's her name? Christine. She introduces herself as Dan's woman. Oh. Dan's wife.
Well, actually, no, Vivica asks, oh, you're Mary, right? Mary's the girlfriend. And Kristen plays along. She's like, yeah, I'm her, sure. But Vivica kind of looks at her like, huh, you're not really his type. She doesn't say it, but you can see it on her face of like, you're his girlfriend, really? I didn't think you were his type. Yeah.
Is this the racial element you're talking about? She's like, hmm.
Well, one of a couple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, so
Dan never told Dan never told Vivica Fox that his girlfriend was black.
No, but Vivica did say something along the lines of, you look different than what I would have expected for Dan, or what I would have expected Dan's girlfriend to look like. And the light bulb went on for me. It's like, oh, she knows his type.
Right. And because it was basically, she was his boss, but they were friends too. No, like, they had a good relationship.
Yeah, she wasn't his boss. She was his publicist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know she was.
She really knew his business then.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it was like they had a very good relationship.
Yeah.
Huh.
So then he comes home, and he's looking around, and you could tell he's half happy, but then also half creeped out by the whole thing.
Yeah, because she, like, staged the house the way they stage a house when you're selling it. Like, it wasn't just, like, she cleaned it. She, like, put out fruit and placemats and, like, made it look, like, curated but lived in at the same time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
She bought groceries.
That's nice.
Like, she cooked. Like, so he was – and but then when he brought it up to her, she was like, oh, that's just stuff I bought at the flea market. It's no big deal. But he calls his girlfriend, he calls Mary, and he's kind of like, you know, Mary, this is kind of weird, but he even tells her that it's kind of weird too, and she gets like all butthurt.
She's like, are you mad?
And so,
are you mad what I did? Does she not like what I did?
So this is when you tell her, okay, we're done, you know, thank you for watching the house. Here's your money. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to go unpack. And she's like, I'm going to cook dinner.
No, she told him to go unpack. She said, go unpack while I make dinner.
Because this is where you're like, oh, here's your check. Or here's, what's your Venmo? I'm Venmoing it as you watch.
Right.
Here you go.
I guess it's a little weird. I should not encourage this kind of behavior into my life.
But you did, and that's how we have this movie.
What?
But you did, and that's how we have this movie.
Yeah, that's
the story of your life.
Yeah.
So then they're having dinner, and she's being creepy, and they're talking about his trip, and then I wrote, "Look, Dan, get rid of her. What are you doing?" So then he lets her spend the night. What's up with that?
He invites her to spend the night.
Let's just spend the night.
Right.
He's like, you know what? It's late. You've had a few. You probably shouldn't drive. Just stay the night. You can leave in the morning.
It's called, I'll call you a Lyft.
Yeah.
And you can come and get your car tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then he's sleeping, and she comes in his room, and she kisses him. But then he sits up in bed, and it turns out to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it a nightmare?
Mm-hmm. Weird boundaries.
By the way, I don't know if you realized while they were eating dinner, the dress she was wearing is the same dress she had on in the pic that she photoshopped into the pic with him and Mary.
Oh God.
Good eye. No, I didn't notice.
That's her stalking outfit.
Her stalking outfit. It's my stalking look. So then Dan is meeting with Vivica, with Deb, and they're talking, and she's like, oh, I dropped off the research with your girlfriend, with Mary. And and this is the part, because he's like, that wasn't Mary. And she says, oh, well, she said her name was Mary. Mm-hmm. And this is what you did. This is the part, where you could tell that she's like,
Yeah, because she shows her a picture of actual Mary. She's like, ah, that's my boy. Or something like that. It was like, oh, okay. Now
right.
Also, this scene, when Dan sits down to talk to Deb, he does it. It's, I don't know if it's a pet peeve of mine, but it's something that I think is really funny and I always have ever since I started acting, is the sitting on a chair backwards thing that actors do in plays and in acting classes that nobody does in real life. And he did that. Like, You know how, like, on stage you'll see an actor will sit down and they turn the chair around with, it, like, the back of the chair at their chest and their legs wrapped around it? Like, have you ever known anybody to actually sit that way in real life?
Well, Dwayne Wayne. He did that. In, what was his last name? Wayne? I don't know. What's Happening? He sat like that.
Oh, A Different World.
No, different. What's Happening? No,
well,
no,
there Dwayne, is Wayne. A there is a Dwayne on What's
Dwayne.
Happening.
Dwayne, What's Happening? Sound like that all the time.
But that's the thing. People don't do that in real life, though, is my point. They do it in TV shows, and they do it on stage a lot, but not in real life.
Yeah, I don't sit like that. No, it's an uncomfortable way to sit.
It really is.
I never sit like that.
Oh, so then while Dan is talking to Deb, Mary comes over. And so then Kristen answers the door, and Mary's like, who are you? And Kristen's like, who are you? And you could tell it looked like there was about to be a fight. Mary's like, well, why are you here? Dan's back. You need to be gone. And then Mary, of course, calls him and is like, what the hell is going on? Why is she still at your house?
Well, I like that Kristen just shut the door to her face. Like, she didn't slam it, but it was like she was done with the conversation, and she just shut the door. And Mary's like, what the fuck just happened?
No.
Right.
She did that to the Cameron star, too. She just closes, slams doors on people's faces.
Right. And then I like Mary's reaction, too. Because Mary was like, what? Like, Mary looked like she was going to hit her.
Yeah.
Man. Mary's hot.
So then Dan confronts Kristen, and he's like, you know, it's time for you to go now. You gotta go.
She's watching the horses.
And then she's like, but I did all this stuff for your house. And he's like, listen, I will give you the money back. I will reimburse you, but you've gotta go. And then she's like, I was just trying to make our house more livable. And he's like, our house, whatever. And then he's like, well, you better go or I'm going to call the cops. And she's like, you signed a lease for a year. And this lease says that I'm renting your room. And he's like, what are you talking about? And then she's like, yeah, you signed a lease. And I wrote here, like, in California, when it comes to that stuff, the laws are crazy. Like, if someone stays at your house for, I think, is it a week or a month or something, and if they get mail at your house, it's considered that they live there.
Wow.
Whether they're on the lease or not. You can't just kick them out. She says in her document that he signed, without looking at it, that she's renting a room in his house. And you know, that's why you need to read everything.
If he's going to sign anything, she should have gotten even more ambitious than that. She could have made him, like, a living organ donor or,
like, a monthly stipend of, like, $5,000.
Yeah.
Right. So then this is where Dan and Mary go to see Vivica. This is where Vivica's like, uh-huh, okay, so yeah, here we go. Hey, girl! And so
this is the line. She says, now you look like my boy's type.
Yeah, now.
Right. And then...
I like it.
Tracy Nelson comes over. Brenda. And it's like, oh, Tracy Nelson.
Jennifer and from Family Ties. I mean, ScriptMix.
I do love that everybody, Tracy Nelson, Vivica A. Fox, and Mary all gave him shit for signing the contract.
Oh my God. Deb gave him so much shit. She was yelling at him, basically calling him a moron.
She's like, how did you sign that? He gave a real stupid explanation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The lawyer, so Tracy's the lawyer. Oh, and they kept on making a big deal about, okay, so I'm talking to the lawyer, but she's not giving you advice.
Yeah, that was
because she was
weird. Had the lawyer shown up yet? I don't think she shows up till a little later in the movie.
Oh, no,
They refer to her, but I don't think you see her yet.
Yeah, no, Brenda yet.
Okay, so yeah, they're just talking about, they're talking about Brenda.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, they were making a big deal out of, so Brenda's the lawyer, but she's not your lawyer. She's just giving advice to a friend. Because I guess it would be a conflict of interest or something.
I don't think so.
I think it was more like she's doing this for free. But the them making a big deal out of it made no sense because it didn't lend anything to the plot of the movie.
Right.
No. And a lawyer could give you advice. I don't think that would be an issue. He wants to turn the water off. His idea is to turn the water, which he can't do. But they never mention if this woman's paying rent. Because if she's supposed to pay rent and she doesn't pay rent, then at least in New Jersey, you could throw somebody out.
That's right. Kurt, you're a landlord. You're a landlord. So, was this kind
of...
Legit? Like, was this pretty much on point?
Well, in New Jersey, you have more, the laws do favor the tenants over the landlords, but if you live in the house with your tenant, like I do, then you have more rights as a landlord.
Okay.
And if they're not paying their rent, then you can evict them for that. Of course, you have to go through a whole court process and all that, but they never mentioned in this movie that she's paying rent.
Because she was house sitting. She's only supposed to house sit for a couple of days.
But she's got a lease.
Yeah, she probably put something in. Like, if he's not reading it, she probably made it like $0.
Right, right.
So it's a lease for $0. All right, I don't know if.
But it's still a contract. Yeah, but it's still a contract.
Mm-hmm. Or $1. I think by law, like a transaction has to be at least $1 or something like that for that kind of transaction.
Because as a landlord, isn't there like a maximum that you can charge a person, but it could be as little as you want it to be?
It's a maximum that you can raise the rent when you raise
it. Okay.
Yeah, by percentage, I think.
But then you can make the rent whatever you feel like making it, right?
Right.
I think so, yeah. You might not get anybody to want to rent it out, but...
Or even the other way, how sometimes people will rent apartments to their nieces or nephews or kids or something and give them a token sort of a rent.
Well, yeah, and they don't even have to have a lease. I don't know how it works in California, but I know here you don't legally have to have a lease if you don't want.
No.
So Vivica basically is like, so far we've gone through the contract and stuff, and you're pretty much screwed. There's not much you can do. So back at the house, Christian's hanging out in her bikini. Yes.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, so then Mary's pretty pissed. And he's like, well, Mary, why don't you come over here? Oh, so Mary's like to him, well, why don't you just come and stay at my house? Can't kick her out. Come and stay at my house. And he's like, no, I'm not leaving my house. I'm going to stay here. And so Then Dan's work. There's the obligatory workout scene, mm-hmm. where they show his bod and he's working out and he's lifting weights. And I wrote here, Mary skulking. She's skulking around and lurking outside and looking in the window. And
not Mary.
Then
Kristen, you mean?
Kristen. And then who was talking? Someone was talking about squatters' rights.
Dan and Mary.
I think Dan and Mary, they were at the pool in this next scene.
Oh, yeah.
Drinking out of glass in the pool, by the way, which is that's a bad thing. You use Lucite.
No.
You don't want to break that glass. You don't want glass at the pool because if you drop it and it breaks in the pool, you have to drain the entire pool. So you use that. That's why you always have plastic at the pool.
Oh, okay.
So he's in the hot tub with Mary. Mm-hmm. And Kristen is like watching them.
Yeah.
And then at one point, Mary asks the question, which she had every right to ask, mm-hmm. did you sleep with her? And mm-hmm. he's like, no. He's like, no. And Mary's like, listen, I've been cheated on before. And he's like, no, I never touched her. I didn't do anything. It was all legit. Mm-hmm. And so then they start kissing, and Kristen is pissed. And then that night, him and Mary are totally getting it on in bed.
Hot and heavy.
Going at it.
Not quite. They're just beginning to get it on.
And Kristen's like watching it. She's watching him on her phone.
Yeah.
And then Mary kind of senses like something creepy's going on. And so she's like, I can feel her watching me, which she was right. And so then Mary's pissed because Mary's like, you're just kind of using me. I feel like you're using me to get back at her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a prop. Yeah. Right.
Because Dan basically suggests that they just have sex to make Kristen feel uncomfortable.
Well, that is a move.
By the way,
he's trying to work. Yeah.
The gigantic camera, it did pay off in one way for Kristen, having the super giant camera, is it was able to provide a perfectly framed close-up shot of Dan and Mary in bed. It wasn't like from far away. It was like it was as if somebody was standing over them with an iPhone pointed directly at them.
Right. So then Mary's over it. So she gets in her car and like speeds off. Like, yeah! like she totally speeds off. And then Kristen is gloating, like, aha, I made her leave. And so then so Dan goes
and,
to
and
bed.
Also Crazy Botox neighbors saw this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, true. That's right. Ale. Tracy.
She's, like, out on her porch, or inside, like, watching it happen, like, oh, here's my inn.
Yeah. I think I like this woman. I've changed my mind. I recommend her. Yes, I think that she's a fine actress. I think she's good.
So Dan
that didn't come off well either.
Okay. Dan can't sleep, so he's having a drink. And so Kristen is there, and she's trying to seduce him. It's not working. So she's like, Dan, I think you left the side door open. And so then Dan goes running to check the side door, and she roofies his drink. And then and I wrote, I'm surprised it took her this long. Because I would have thought that she would have been roofing his drinks and his food earlier. So he drinks his roofie drink. And then they're talking, and then his drugs hit. And she gets out her phone, and she starts whipping out selfies.
And he looks all druggy and dopier than usual.
Yeah,
doesn't look realistic.
Yeah, he kind of like he falls back on the couch, so she immediately like rests herself in his open arm to make it look like they're getting snuggly.
And I wrote, she's done this before.
Oh, yeah, she had that foot out quick.
Yeah. Looks like Weekend at Bernie's.
It kind of did, because in all the photos, he looks totally out of it. So, like, these photos aren't very useful. Like, it's not like it looks like they're doing it. They're still fully clothed, and he just looks like he doesn't know what's going on.
Right. So then he wakes up the next day. He is hella hungover. Kristen is still skulking. Dan calls Mary. Mary's still kind of pissed. Mary's like, you know what? I might have to go out of town for work again. And he's like, do you want to meet up? And Mary's being a little frosty. She's not happy.
Yeah.
So then Dan's having a business meeting with Vivica, and then Tracy Nelson shows up.
Yeah.
Because I wrote in big letters, it's Tracy Nelson.
Same.
Did we ever mention what their what this article is that they're working on? It's about he's doing an article about apparently the underground tunnels in New York, the old subway tunnels. They're now creating beautiful apartments. This is what in this movie.
They want to create. True? You live in the New York area.
I don't believe they're doing that. No. There are mole people. There are mole people who live underground in New York, and I've seen them. Somebody, you'll be in a subway station, and someone just sort of, I've seen this happen. A man just appears, and he gets and he has a key to some like water on the side. He gets water. And then
go ahead, Les.
Oh, no, I was going to say, is it kind of like on the Superman movie, that old Superman movie where, like, Gene Hackman and Ned Beatty were walking through the subway and then they'd go in, like, a little door?
They made a documentary about these people because they live, it's like people who have homes under this city and, like, old abandoned subway stations. And it's just areas like underground, so they live there.
Right.
Because didn't? Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was gonna add, like, forgive me for not knowing the history, but like, why did they stop using some of the subway tunnels? Why? Like, it's such a huge burden to dig those, and they're there. Why aren't they in use?
Well, in World War, I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know if it was like.
No, I don't really know why. I don't know, but there's areas.
All I know is that Lex Luthor had a swimming pool.
under the city.
Right, he had a swimming pool and she was tanning. Who was that? Miss Tessmacher was tanning.
Otisville? Was it Otisville or Otisburg? Otisburg?
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. It looked fun in there. It was fabulous, actually. Their little underground lair.
I like that your view of New York and like what New York is the 1970s Superman movies with Christopher Reeve and Gene Hackman.
I like Miss Tessmacher.
Yeah.
Oh, so Tracy. Oh, and so. So Tracy, and I wrote, Tracy's officially a part of the wrong universe.
She sure is.
So then Tracy's there, and like they're getting ready to go to lunch, but before they go to lunch, she gives a lot of legalese. And so basically, long story short, he's screwed. So then we see Mary. And Mary's with this woman, and at first I thought it was Kristen, because the woman looked a lot like Kristen.
Oh, I didn't think so.
Like,
I didn't think so either. Different. She was another blonde woman. I just said she meets with another blonde woman.
Yeah.
So then they're talking, and she's saying, well, you know what? I used to work with Kristen, and Kristen told me that she was having problems with her boyfriend. So my boyfriend and I invited her to stay with us, and she had to sign a contract, but we don't remember signing it. And then she basically is like, she screwed them over, and her boyfriend got arrested for like didn't
more
she
idiots.
Say that, like, yeah, but I think
because these people her yeah okay, go ahead.
I don't know. I was going to say that she was saying that she didn't remember signing it, so I wonder if she drugged them.
Well, I heard her say she said she didn't read it. She didn't understand legal language, so she didn't read the contract.
Yeah, it was something along the lines of, like, you know, we were young and dumb in our early 20s, and we didn't really think much of it, and we barely remember that we signed it. And the boyfriend was started banging Kristen, which is why they, like, started to kick her out, or tried to kick her out.
Right.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Oh, and yeah, and then Mary's like, did you have a lawyer look at it? And she's like, we couldn't afford a lawyer. And wrote, there's lots of sneakiness in this movie, and I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you like sneakiness.
Yeah, you do.
So the Mary goes back over to the house, because Mary's going to kick her ass, basically. Mm-hmm. And Kristen tells Mary, I have a right to be here. And then Mary's like, oh, yeah? Well, what about Dara Woods? Mm-hmm. And Kristen, like, stops in her tracks. And Kristen's like, how do you know that name? And then Mary's like, I met your old roommate, and you know, we called a lawyer. And then I wrote here, Mary, you idiot, you never confront the killer by yourself. You bring a friend with you for backup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I thought Mary was going to die for sure.
Same.
And then, especially when Mary's going to leave, I'm like, don't turn your back on her. That's when she's going to hit you in the head. But, then Mary's like, you know what? All this stuff that you've done, we have enough witnesses now that we can get you arrested for fraud, and you're going to go to jail. And then Kristen's like, oh, yeah? Well, look at this. And she whips out her cell phone with all the drugged-up pictures of Dan and her canoodling.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Except not canoodling, because he's, like, half passed out. And she's, like, kissing him on his, like, drooling mouth. Like, yeah, seriously. It was like, it was like none of those pictures are even remotely sexy.
Right. Because it was obvious he was messed up.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even, like, it didn't look sexy at all. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So then she shows, but Mary's like not having it. Mary's like done. Mm-mm. So then she walks out of the house and she's confronted by nosy Tracy. Tracy obviously
crazy
does not
Botox
have a job.
Neighbor Tracy, not Tracy Nelson.
She does not have a job. She does not have hobbies.
No.
She had a yoga body, but she, I guess, didn't go to yoga because she was busy skulking.
Mm-hmm.
So then, she was. Oh, she asked Mary, "Who are you?" And Mary's like, "I used to be Dan's girlfriend."
Ooh.
So then. Dan calls Mary. He's calling Mary, and Mary's not answering his call. And then Vivica comes to – he's telling – Vivica's at the – oh, Vivica lets him work in her office because he can't work at home. And so
except I am certain that they filmed her office in that same house and that they filmed Mary's apartment in that same house.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
And the same aesthetic.
Cost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We're on a budget. We've got 2 weeks. We got 10 days to film this thing.
Yep.
No time was wasted.
So then Debbie comes back, and Debbie's like, well, you know, why don't you write an article about all this crap you're going through right now? Mm-hmm.
She said it would make a great Grisham book. Grisham.
Oh, did she say Grisham?
Hear that, John Grisham? Yeah, I was going to hear that, John Grisham. Here's your next book.
Well, let's not forget that Vivica A. Fox is the same person that a few movies ago pronounced it espresso.
Oh. Well, I don't know. I mispronounced it. Grisham. Maybe she said it right.
Oh, okay. So then Mary, like, he finally sees Mary, and Mary is like, yelling at him like, "You listen, you ass, I saw the pictures." And he's like, "I was drugged." And then Dan comes home, and then Tracy comes over again. Tracy really is around way too much.
Well, Tracy Vail.
Crazy Botox neighbor Tracy.
Yeah.
She's there. She's not there Tracy because Nelson. She's always alert because of all of the Botox.
Oh, right. Yeah. This poor woman. She's like, and then
Tracy's like, I talked to your girlfriend. And then Dan starts yelling at Kristen and saying, you drugged me. And then Kristen saying, I will make us a nice dinner. This is where my notes get shoddy, because mm-hmm. I was watching it, and then I had to start heading home. So as I was walking, I switched from my iPad to my phone. Mm-hmm. So my notes are a little shoddy. So what do you have next?
So well, you're watching this as you were walking?
Oh, yeah. I watched it as I was walking, and then I went to the market, and then I watched it on – and I watched it while I was in the market, and then I watched the end when I got home.
Oh, wow. You're taking notes while you're doing it? Wow. Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I just like that Dan is confronting Kristen about drugging him, and he's like, I'm going to tell the cops. And she's like, who's going to believe that in this day and age? Like, I think a lot of people would believe that. That's pretty normal.
Right? Roofies him. And so is this where
he said he'd rather starve to death than have her make him a nice dinner.
Yeah, which, he's right. She did drug him.
Yeah, but she's like trying to offer to cook dinner again. Like, this relationship is complicated.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm kosher with you with eating your food. You did drug me earlier. Oh yeah. Well, that was drinks. I wouldn't drug food. Oh, I just heard a kitty cat.
Oh yes, because my husband just came home.
Okay.
And so, they're in, is this when Mary comes back?
This is Kristen is watching Dan sleep through the little phone, and she sees a voicemail because she's hacked Dan's phone, and it's from Brenda, the lawyer, Tracy Nelson, who's
right.
I think I've got a solution. So Kristen, as Dan, texts back Brenda saying, hey, yeah, come over. Let's talk.
Right. So then Brenda comes over.
Fully aware of the problem.
And they're talking. And poor Tracy Nelson, every movie, she has the same fate. She dies in every movie.
What's so not funny, but like what's amazing about her part in this movie is the minute she walks in that house, you could see it on her face, like, oh shit, this is the other one. This is not the right woman that's supposed to be here. I'm fucked. Like, she has no way out.
Well, she does.
And then
she
Kristen's like,
yeah.
And then Kristen's totally trying to pump her for information.
Yeah.
Like, she's pretending because she's pretending to be married. She's like, okay, so yeah, you said that you have a way to get her out of the house. What is it? Mm-hmm. And she's like totally trying to pump her. And then, Brenda totally can tell something's up. And so then Brenda's like, well, you know, maybe I should wait until Dan gets back. And then Brenda's big mistake was, if you kind of suspect a person is psycho, you don't take a drink from them.
Right.
When they offer you water, you say, oh, no, thank you, I'm good.
Yeah, especially, like, this is far enough into the beat of the scene where it's not like she suspects that it's the wrong person. She full-on knows. She's figured it out already, and she still takes the sip of the water.
Yeah.
Right. Because then she even tells her, she's like, I know you're the girlfriend. She's like, I know you're the girlfriend.
It's like, I know you're the girlfriend. Excuse me for a second.
Yeah. I need to stay hydrated in my stupidity.
And then so she's like, I know you're the girlfriend. And then she's like,
And she's like, you must be pretty smart. Kristen said, you must be pretty smart. A lawyer, huh?
Was the most
got a point.
Epic death I've ever witnessed.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
She was acting her ass off in that moment.
Right. I loved it.
Like, I did too. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That was great. That was like Paul Rubens in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. On that level.
So then after the fantastic death scene, then nosy ass Tracy comes back. Right? Is this where Tracy the neighbor comes back?
Tracy Vale, yeah.
Yeah.
So then she comes back, and so now finally Tracy figures out, oh, and this is the part where I said that race came into it too, because Tracy confronts Kristen and she's like, you're not the girlfriend. And what she left out was, because the girlfriend's black.
I didn't get that. She said, why do you lie?
Because she knowingly, the way she just said it, like, I know who the girlfriend is. It's not you. And there's no way you could be the girlfriend. You look nothing like her because she's black. Mm-hmm. So then she strangles Tracy.
Yeah, with like the belt from her robe.
Right. It was a bathrobe strap. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
She's like Black China in that way. Like anything she had her hands on, she strangled people.
Right. So then when the cops catch Kristen, she's like, I was just kidding. I was just joking around.
It is funny.
I didn't mean to put the strap around her neck. We were just playing.
Yeah, who would have thought that a bathrobe strap could kill somebody?
Right, she just died.
Not my fault.
It was a joke.
Someone should put a warning on these bathrobes.
Okay.
Would you have thought a week ago that this podcast would contain two separate conversations about weird strangulations?
Right. Right.
Maybe there's a third
one involving Black China.
Mm-hmm. This is what's going on in the news these days. Yeah.
Kristen leaves, and Dan and Mary come home, and there's, I don't know, dead people in the house.
What does that mean?
There's dead people in the house.
Because he's like walking around like looking for Kristen, and then he sees like, oh, someone's in her bed under the covers. He's like, Kristen, you got to wake up. Like, well, why? Like, why do you need to wake up? You're a crazy house guest.
I wanted to hear. I see dead people. I see dead people.
Oh, sorry. We weren't talking about people's dead parents, so I wasn't prepared for it.
I see dead people.
Okay.
Yay. Okay, good.
Okay.
I'm satisfied.
Sorry.
Okay, so question, you two. If two people were found murdered in your house, would you still stay there anyway?
No.
Well, we did learn earlier that the cupboard was stocked. So considering that, no, I wouldn't. I'd sleep in the car. It's surprisingly warm in there.
Wait, and did you guys catch the part where the police are talking to him and Dan kind of starts laughing?
No.
he kind of started laughing a little bit.
Well, I loved that. Well, first of all, we don't know that Brenda is dead. We never saw her body.
Oh,
and she may have just been drugged like Dan was, because we see her fall to the ground. But like, if it was the same drug she gave Dan, then Brenda wouldn't have died. She just would have passed out.
But that was a lot of coughing, though.
I mean, Tracy was going for it. I mean, Tracy, her intention was, I'm dying here, but we don't know.
Maybe she's still a lot of coughing.
Yeah. But
maybe.
Then when they're meeting with the detective after they find Crazy Botox Lady in the bed, the detective tells them to get some sleep. It's the middle of the day. It's like blazing sun outside. He's like, you should get some sleep.
Well, a disco nap. What does that?
We just found a dead person in your house. Relax.
Yeah.
Move that dead person over so you can have some room in the bed to sleep.
Was the detective the guy that played the claims adjuster that solved that murder in the other movie?
Probably.
That guy did look like recognizable, but I'm not sure who he was.
So then the police leave. Mary is like, okay. Mary's basically like, okay, I forgive you. And so then Dan's like, well, I'm going to hang – because Kristen's still on the loose. So Dan's like, well, I'm just going to hang out here. And then Mary's like, well, I'm not going to let you hang out there alone. I'll hang out here with you. And this is another dumb part. So if someone murdered someone in your house and they were still on the loose, wouldn't you want some there with you? If you got a little hungry, wouldn't you call Postmates?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, you have to understand. She had to go get Chinese food. They don't deliver Chinese food.
Yes, they do.
Nobody delivers Chinese food.
No, I've never heard of that, Les. There's no way to get Chinese food in your home unless you grab it yourself.
Where do they deliver Chinese food?
Well, but then most of the Chinese places I go to, if Postmates doesn't deliver at the Chinese restaurant, they deliver.
I'm kidding.
That's
of course
Kurt's
they deliver
point.
Oh,
of course they've been delivering Chinese food for 100 years.
Sorry.
That's okay.
But she had to get – because he had to get these egg rolls. Mm-hmm. So she – wait. And then, yeah, you're right. The refrigerator is fully stocked.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not with Chinese food.
Or maybe I could see them being afraid that the food was tainted or drugged or something.
Yeah.
Should drug them. But still, you wouldn't, like, the murderer's on the loose. I'll just stay at home alone.
And, like, they didn't change the locks or anything.
No.
Of course she's going to walk in. She might just be in the house.
Well, that back door is always open. Nobody ever locks that damn back door in any of the Lifetime movies, and it's literally the same back door.
Right. Right. So then he's hanging out, waiting for the food. Someone walks in the house. He thinks it's Mary, but of course it's Kristen with a knife.
Oh.
And then they're talking, and Kristen's like, I was just trying to make a home for us. And, and he's like, you're batshit crazy. And so she's getting ready to kill him. And then Mary forgot her purse or something.
Yeah. Wait, can I just recite to you Kristen's speech? Because I wrote it down. It was amazing.
Yes.
Kristen said, I loved you. All I wanted to do is protect you from those that didn't have your best interests. I made this a home, our home, so we could have the American dream.
You imagine having to learn that.
Oh, she is using that in all of her monologue classes from here to eternity.
Right. We're going to have a white picket fence, two children, and murder.
Horse.
The house did have a white fence.
It did. That's where the horses were.
Yeah.
So then Mary comes home while this is going on, and Mary's like, oh, hell no.
She's afraid of Mary. She runs. Even though she's got a knife.
Mary runs right towards the person with a knife. That's what I loved. It's like, it wasn't like she was even freaked out. She just started walking towards her.
Oh, Kristen's like, it's Mary. Ah!
Because Mary's like, bitch. Get over here.
Don't
fail
me now.
And so
they basically Kool-Aid manned it through the door to leave.
So Mary saves the day. And then
it's like a Roadrunner cartoon all of a sudden.
And then we cut to 3 weeks later. So then they're back at the bookstore where he met Kristen. And they were talking, like, and he tells Vivica that he decided not to write about what happened.
Yeah,
right.
Because he basically didn't want to attract any more psychos. Well,
no, he says it's so crazy that nobody would believe it.
Right. Well, they made a movie about it.
And then Vivica says, Dan, you picked the wrong house sitter.
Oh, boy.
And then we find out he and Mary are happy. Like, they're happy and together. And then...
this is the part I missed.
Then it's another Lifetime trope. Mm-hmm. We see a house. Yeah. We see a good-looking guy. Mm-hmm. He's on the phone. He's talking to someone, and he's like, yeah, I just moved in, so I've got to leave town, though. So I'm going to unpack, and then I'm going to leave town, and everything's great. And then there's the doorbell rings. He opens the door, and it's Kristen. And she says, hi, I'm Tiffany, your house sitter.
Tiffany.
He found her in an ad.
Right.
Like, are you seriously, like, on Craigslist looking for a house sitter?
Okay, this is what I love about Tiffany. This is what I love about Kristen. Okay, mm-hmm. First of all, if you were on the lam from the cops after killing a person, wouldn't you, like, dye your hair black or put on a wig or a disguise? Oh, no. She was just herself.
She could have got one of Vivica A. Fox's wigs.
And especially, this all went down in L.A., so you know it would be on the national news.
She's probably auditioning on the side.
Probably.
Well, she has that monologue.
Right.
That's right.
So then,
here's the monologue I did. This isn't from a play. This is from right before I tried to murder someone.
And that was it. The end.
I have a theory about this movie.
Well, no, Kristen's line at the end of the movie is, or Kristen or Tiffany's line is, "It's a good thing you called. You could have ended up with the wrong house sitter."
But no, oh, wait, that's right. And then at the end, then they put the big
is that
the
what
wrong
they said?
House sitter.
I do like how the credits are. Boy, not a light-handed movie.
No, not at all.
All right. My theory is that this entire movie was a statement against Ayn Rand. I looked up Ayn Rand. She started the objectivist movement, which was a big influence on libertarians and American conservatives. And, of course, this movie I've talked about this with other movies, too. Because of how stupid the characters were, libertarians watch this movie, and they become more into big government. So it's anti-libertarian and anti-Ayn Rand.
That's totally what this movie was. Yeah, it was all political.
And why else were these characters so dumb?
Well, they were dumb. Except for Vivica. She was the only one that wasn't dumb.
Yeah, I guess
but,
so.
I loved this movie. Not Killer Contractor level, but it was close.
It was damn close. Mm-hmm. It's by far my second favorite movie of the year.
Oh.
I love the fact that they're like, okay, we're not even going to try to – we're just going to make it crazy as hell, and you're just going to have to deal with it. We're not going to try to pretend it's anything else other than it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So far, basically, Lifetime is pretty much knocking it out of the park.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah. I think I enjoyed it for what it is.
I think
is this a recent movie? Is this
yeah 2020?
Yeah, it's still streaming on the website even. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, because I have it on demand. Yeah, I loved this movie.
So did I.
Oh my God.
Well, yes. All right.
Gentlemen, I don't mean to speed this along too much, but I do need to get going.
You gotta go.
I gotta go too because my husband's at home, so I gotta go. I gotta give him his Valentine's gift, a plant, because that's what he asked for. And then we're gonna go eat. Well, we're gonna go eat, but I just realized, God damn it, it's Valentine's Day. Because we're gonna go to eat and go to a movie, but then I realized, fuck, it's Valentine's Day.
You know what you could do is go to a Chinese restaurant and pick up food because you can't get it delivered.
True. Or just, you know, have someone cook roof feed food for me. Mm. Anyway, okay, so guys.
Oh, great. Jeez.
So if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett, or you can get a hold of the podcast Facebook page at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast, or Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. Jason?
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason, and I believe Kurt has some news.
I did. I have done it. I have followed through on what I've been saying for the last year. I have updated my website. So if you go to KurtFitzpatrick.com, there is some updated stuff on there, and I logged on to Twitter and put up a new tweet. I have had logged on in over a year. I did it.
Kurt follows me on Twitter now.
Yay!
After 2 years of doing the podcast together.
We're on Twitter together.
Yes.
And three things. First thing is, if you are in Minneapolis, February 21st, the show that I produce, Workplace Drama, which is a storytelling show about jobs, is going to have another month of a job-related story theme. This month, the theme is the travel industry, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you can, it's at Strike Theater, and you can find more information on that at strikethe.com. Secondly, I am going to be performing at the Rogue Festival in Fresno, California, with my brand new show, Climbing My Family Tree. And last but not least, I have actually started another podcast. But basically, the podcast is the Workplace Drama Show that I just mentioned. It's going to be a podcast of the show. So the stories that we tell at the Workplace Drama Show will be now available as well on Apple Podcasts, and any other place where you can get a podcast. And that is all.
And speaking of podcasts, if you do listen to us on any platform where you can rate, review, subscribe, please do that. Please give us 5 stars. Anything less,
yes,
us. We would love some love so that people can find us, because the higher the ranking, the more people will find out about the show.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's it. Well, I gotta go and brave the Valentine's Day jungle restaurant theme. So I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.